God is. And this is a more personal psalm that David had penned. A part of that obviously is going to be praising God, but he's asking God to act as his lawyer against the enemies that had surrounded David. And I think that all of us at some point in our life can sympathize and empathize where David is. So he begins in verse number 1 by these words. He says, "Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me, fight against them that fight against me." If you were to break this psalm down, verses 1 through 10 are David pleading with God to act as a lawyer against those that have transpired together to bring harm to David. And so he says, "God, I want you to plead my case because there are people that are striving together to fight against me." And he says, "God, I want you to fight against them." That's pretty powerful language, is it not? He says in verse number 2, "Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help." So what he basically says is kind of like Paul would tell us in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. Get your armor on. It's time to go to battle. And so what David says to God, "I want you to plead my cause, God. I want you to fight against them that are fighting against me." In verse number 2, he says, "God, pick up your armor. It's time to go to war." He says in verse 3, "Draw also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." David continues in verse 4 by saying, "Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt." Again, these words are very personal to David because there have been those that he had considered friends, close associations of his, and now they've turned their back on him and they are actually fighting against him. We're all familiar with his son, Absalom, who started a rebellion against his own father. He wanted to dethrone his father. And so you've got those people that we all from time to time have to deal with that we thought at one time they were our friend, but in reality they were a good weather friend, and they turned their back. And so David says, "God, I want you to fight against them. I want you to confound them." You know, we often pray that someone who is living a wicked life, "God, don't let anything they touch succeed. Turn it against them, God. Show them that you are in control and bring all their schemes to nothing." That's what David is saying. In verse 5, he says, "Let them be as the chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them." Think about that. David says, I want you to send your angel. And of course, we recognize, and we've talked about this on many occasions, the angel of the Lord. When you see with the definite article, the angel of the Lord, in many cases, and I never have tried to divide it out, but I've used this figure, and I think it's pretty accurate, probably 9 out of 10 times. 8 out of 10 times anyway, when you see that phrase, "the angel of the Lord," it's talking about Jesus Christ as He existed in the Old Testament as Halagos, the Word. He is the Word. Remember John 1, "The Word became flesh," verse 14, "and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word," that's Jesus, "and the Word was with God, and He was God." Jesus Christ existed before His incarnation as God, as the Word, and sometimes He manifested Himself as the singular messenger of God. So David says, "Send the angel of the Lord against them." David knew the Old Testament. I know he's writing by inspiration. By the way, for Dennis's benefit, we do the Psalms on our potluck Sunday, so we're working our way through the Psalms. And so this psalm, David says, "I want you to let them become as just trash blowing in the wind." Verse 6, let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. I said this was a very personal psalm, and this is kind of language that we're very reluctant to put our stamp of approval on. We're very reluctant to say, God, knock down my enemies. Destroy them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and send your angel to persecute them. That language kind of goes, is this by the inspiration of God? And it is. And I think what David is going to point out as we go through this psalm, they were really the enemies of God. And when someone is fighting against God, we should not have a problem praying to God to let their way become dark and slippery. Confound them. Don't let them succeed in anything that they are doing. He says in verse 7, for without cause have they hid from me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Do you notice that David, and by the way, we've got to be careful here because sometimes we're in the wrong. And I don't know that we always want to admit it when we're the one that's at fault. But David's saying very clearly, God, they set this up. I didn't do anything wrong in this situation. I'm innocent. And they've digged pits for me. They've cast a net for me. God, let their way be dark and slippery. Verse 8, let destruction come upon him at unawares. Surprise him, God. Knock him down a step or two. Get him to acknowledge. He says, do it and never let him know that it's coming. And let his net that he hath hid himself into the very destruction, let him fall. You know, David was not alive in the time of Haman. But we all remember that Haman hated Mordecai because Mordecai was a righteous man. This is in the book of Ruth. In the book of Esther. And Haman hated Mordecai, and he built gallows to hang Mordecai, and he was hanged on his own gallows. That's what he's saying here. Let the traps that they've set for me, God, fall upon them. Haman, you built those gallows to hang Mordecai, but now you're going to hang on those gallows. That's the point that he's making. Verse 9, and my soul, listen to this, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. David says, you know, God, it's really time for them to get their just deserts. And when that happens, I'm going to praise you all day long. When they fall on their face and their net that they cast for me, God, you put them to their own shame. He says, I am going to rejoice, and my bones are going to say, who else is like God? So plead my case, God. Beginning in verse 11 and going through verse 16, David is going to talk about how his love for this person had gone unrequited. He says in verse 11, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me, watch this, they rewarded me evil for the good to the spoiling of my soul. What David said is, I wasn't expecting this person to turn against me. By the way, David, in some instances, the shoe might have fit David because he did some shenanigans, didn't he? But now David is living innocently before God, living righteously before God, and these people are setting traps for him. They're lying, verse number 11. They're lying about David. They're saying he did things that he did not. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever had somebody that you thought was close relation, you thought you could trust them, and lo and behold, you find out they're going around behind your back and they're lying? about you and saying all manner of things. They rewarded me, he said in verse 12, I tried to do them good, and they returned the favor with evil. Verse 13, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. What did he say? He said, when they had heartache, when they had trouble, when they had sickness, David said, it was just as if I was sick as well. And I put on sackcloth, and I prayed earnestly for that individual. Verse 14, I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I prayed for that person constantly. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. You see how close David was to this individual. And there's nothing that hurts worse than being stabbed in the back by somebody you love and you trust. And David said, this person was like my own flesh and blood. He said in verse 15, now notice the contrast. When that person was sick, I got down in sackcloth and I prayed to God that they would recover. What happens in return? Verse 15, but in my adversity, they rejoice. When something bad happened to me, behind my back, they're, oh yeah, David got his comeuppance. I'm so excited that David finally got knocked down a notch. They gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, David said, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. With hypocritical mockers in feast, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Can you imagine David as king over the nation of Israel, setting a banquet and having this great banquet, setting his close associates that he trusted at the head of the table, and all the time they're on the other end of the table and they're talking about David, and they're laughing and mocking and rejoicing in David's downfall? That's that proverbial knife in the back, is it not? That's the one that hurts. That gnashing of their teeth. They're talking bad about me. And then verse 17, a verse that we all understand. Lord, how long will thou look on? Have we said that so many times about our own nation? God, how long are you going to tolerate some of the things that are happening here? The shedding of innocent blood. Abortion is a stain on America that continues to grow and grow. And we say, how long, Lord? How long is this going to last? David said, how long are you going to let these people that have done that continue to do it? He says, rescue my soul, verse 17, from their destruction, my darling from the lions. And you know, I can't help but when I see language like that, realize that in one sense, David is talking about himself, but don't you know this applies to Jesus? Don't you know that when Judas betrayed him, that was a deep, deep cut? Betrayed by one of my friends, in the house of my friends, Zechariah would say, my darling from the lions. Verse 18, I will give thanks in the great congregation, I will praise thee among much people. So I'm sorry, I should have stopped at verse 16 and moved to the next point, which is David prays for God's deliverance, verses 17 and 18. He praises God because God delivers him. He says that when you do this, God, I am going to praise you in the congregation. That means, if we understand right, in the temple, in the worship of God. We would understand that in the church, that when we follow God's plan, like Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15, you've got a sin, and it's unrepented, and it finally goes to the church. So David says, I will give thanks when this happens. Beginning in verse 19, David prays for vindication, going through verse 26. He says, "Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me." I think it's interesting that David said, "I don't want my enemies to rejoice wrongfully." If David had done something wrong, the implication I'm seeing, maybe I'm writing something in there that's not there, but what I think David is saying, God, if I've done something wrong, punish me. But don't let them rejoice when I'm innocent. Don't let them rejoice falsely over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without cause. You notice the point that David is making. You know, we've all probably seen it done when somebody's praising somebody and they're just, "Oh, he's the best old thing," and they're winking. You know, "Well, he's just a great guy." You know what I'm talking about. And all the time, they're being deceitful, they're being dishonest, and they're winking at each other. You know, we got this little clique going, and so when we're talking about him, we'll wink at each other and we'll know that we really don't mean what we're saying. David says, "Father, please destroy those wicked ones." Verse 20, he says, "For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land." Boy, I don't know. I've said for a long time that the Bible is fresh as the morning's newspaper. And we look at things that go on in our land, and if you watch anything to do with politics, and you see how some of our politicians act, and you say, "That's horrible." But then we got to look in the mirror too and say, it's not just politicians that act like that. There's a lot of people that act like that. Sadly, there are even members of the Lord's church that act like that. And David said, they're not looking for peace. They're ready for a fight. And they're rejoicing when the fight breaks out. That's the reason Proverbs 6 and verse 19 that God said, "I hate the one who so..." He's an abomination in my eyes, the one that would sow discord among God's people. He says they are deceitful, they lie, and they talk about those. And how many times have we heard this silent majority? You know, the silent majority. They're not saying anything, and yet you've got all the ones that are yap, yap, yapping all the time. So he says in verse 20, "Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye hath seen it." They're saying, David did it, and we caught him, and we're glad, and we saw it with our own eyes. But they're lying. That's what David's whole point is. They are lying. And so he turns it on them in verse 22, and he says, "This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me." David said, "God, you know the way I've conducted myself in this affair, and I'm innocent." And they're running around shouting from the rooftop all these things, and all the time they are lying. And God, you saw it, and you know it. They can say their eyes saw it, but God, I know your eyes saw it. Verse 23, "Stir up thyself." Wow. God, get up. And this is pretty brave language. He says, "God, get up, stir up thyself, and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up." But what does he want to happen? Verse 26, "Let them be ashamed, and let them be brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me." You know, the hypocrite usually gets their comeuppance. And that's what David is praying for. So he ends this by encouraging all God's people to come together and rejoice when their failure happens. So he says in verse 27, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long." That's an unusual psalm, no doubt. And so David is saying, "God, I want you to be the one that pleads my case, because I know you're a lawyer who cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. I know that God is just and righteous, that God is watching over the affairs of men." And he's saying, "God, this has gone on long enough. It's time for you to deliver me out of their snare. I am innocent. And when this happens, not only am I going to praise you, God, but all righteous people are going to rise up and thank you for being the God that you are." I'm glad the God we serve is the God that David adored. Even though, as I said, this psalm is one of those psalms that we look at and we say, "Oh man, that's not politically correct." And yet all the while, it's still true. And what we need to make sure is that we're the one on the righteous cause side. We don't want to be among those that are backbiting and lying and doing all those things. So we need to make sure we're living right and doing right. And as we've said, if you're not a child of God, Jesus said, "The one that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16 and verse 16, if you've never obeyed the gospel, Dennis is going to lead us in an invitation song. We plead with you to respond. As one of God's children, if you need prayers, please come as we stand and as we sing.
Would you be free from the burden?